Good morning, goeiemôre. Ek hoop dit gaan goed met julle. As julle gewonder het wie die hond geskop het. Dit was 'n tikkie, net so. Maar dit was die attitude van my hart was die probleem, nie die trefkrag van my voet nie. Maar ek het repent. So wie het nog die hond geskop? Niemand vanoggend nie. Hannes het. O, ons moet die geld opneem. Stuur maar die sakkie om, terwyl ek praat. Heer Jesus, ons wil vir dankie sê. We want to thank you, Lord, for just the way in you, which you bless us, Lord, financially as well. And Father God, and just the way that this world system is put together, Lord, we need jobs, we need blessings, Lord, we need to have open hearts, and we need people with open hearts toward us, Lord, to be financially blessed as well, Lord. And we just wanna come and declare, Lord, that our trust is not in money. Our trust, Father God, is not in people. Our trust is in you. You are the provider, Lord, but we know you. You work through people and you work through systems. So I want to pray, Father God, a blessing, Father God, on our endeavors. I want to pray a blessing, Lord, on people's jobs and where they work, Lord, and where people are maybe looking for work to come in, or they are looking for a job, Lord. We ask for that. We ask, Lord, that you will open the ways. We ask, Father God, where there's challenges in workplaces, that you'll dat is al ingryp. In that you will make ways, Lord, where there just seems not to be any way, Lord. Ons wil vra, Here, dat u goed in plek sal laat val vir u mense, want u is 'n goeie God. En ek bid dit in Jesus se naam. Amen. Wonderlik. I want to talk this morning about praise and thanksgiving in gaan so die Afrikaans sommer so tussenin gooi. So ek wil gou vra as jy die woord praise hoor, as jy die woord lofprysing hoor, waaraan dink jy? What is the first thing that comes to your mind? Anyone? Sing. Ja. Skree. As jy 'n skreeër. Ek wil net weet, veeartse skop hulle ook honde? Nooit. Unprofessional. Okay, it's singing, it's screaming, anything else? You think church, don't you? You think this gathering, you think music, you think Apple Music, what you can listen to, what you can sing in your car. Mainly it's a lot of, singing things that we think about. And I think many times we engage in practices, good practices, but we don't always understand the impact of those practices. And this morning, I actually want to encourage us with this message. And for some of you, it's old news. So maybe you're like, hey, man, thank you. That's a confirmation. I'm doing that already. And for some of you, it's just, oh, okay, thank you. I just have to dust off this principle in my life and get it going. And I think that I don't have this scripture for nie, ek het nie die en daar op nie, but I just want to read you this very familiar one that we all know of in Habakkuk, die vyeboom ene, né? It says, though the fig tree, it's in Habakkuk 3, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. That is a very depressing picture. You agree with me? Okay, and this obviously is not just relating to farmers. We know obviously that in the time of Habakkuk, the Jews, the economy, large part of the economy was farming. That was their substance. That's how they made their living. And when these things are not in place, the whole supply chain falls apart. The fig tree should not blossom. So daar's nie eens vye konfyt nie. Daar's nie eens jam vir jou broodjie, 'n soet dingetjie nie. There's no fig juice. whatever they make of figs, no fruit be on the vines, daar's nie druiwe nie, daar's nie wyn nie, daar's nie sap nie. The produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Very, very depressing. Famine, drought, dry situation. But then verse 18 comes, and this is the prophecy. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. And when you start thinking about the dry times in your life, and when you start thinking about the tough times in your life, then praise is not the default mode that our flesh goes to. If you are hungry, what does your tummy do? It grumbles. Okay, so when we are in life, wherever we are, we start to grumble. That is our default mode. Okay? Who of you watched the rugby yesterday? Gisteraand, laat. Yes. I grumbled afterwards. The last 10 minutes, just a ref. Ek wil net gou klaar grumble hierso. It's just my default mode. But that's, we've already have a reputation as South Africans that we complain a lot when we lose. Yeah? But we just want fairness. That's what we want. But grumbling is so part of us. It's so ingrained in us. Praise and thanksgiving is not the default mode that we go to. Unless we have tasted God's goodness, even in the times that is tough. But as a people, what we do when we go in tough times, we first start making plans on our own. That's our default mode. You try and figure out a way through this. You know that Afrikaans saying that the women always say, alles kan opwees, dit moet die planne moet net nie opwees. There's always a plan. There should always be a plan. There should always be creativity. And if your plans run out, then you go and look for plans with other people. And when all else fails, you go to Google or YouTube and you try that. And that wasn't even there in Habakkuk's time. But I want to start off with another Old Testament story. And I'm going to read up to verse 22. You can maybe go and read the rest of the story at home. But it's the story of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was one of the good kings. And in 2 Chronicles 20, you can follow on the screen as well. It says this. And I want you to see the key of praise in this story. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Munites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Okay, so bad news will come. Bad news will come. You will open your news app and you will read bad news every day. Bad news will come whether we ask for it or we don't. Bad news will come whether you live a good, righteous life or not. Because we are in Christ, because we are saved, because we are on our way to heaven, because we are being sanctified, because we are blood washed, doesn't guarantee us from turmoil. It doesn't guarantee us from tough times. It doesn't guarantee that we don't experience sickness and death and the results of the fall on this side of life. So bad news will come. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Beautiful. A whole nation. And I asked myself, how afraid must a nation be to seek the help of the Lord? So it's either they was afraid out of Aliplana, Google Verki, Wi-Fi is off, Eskom is down. They're so afraid Aliplana is up. Or it was a habit in them. I mean, they were a worshipping nation that had a little bit of understanding of what God's presence in their midst can do. But it's beautiful to see this. And I don't know. We don't know how many people were there trying to make a plan. And if it was like a national fear that just gripped everyone and that said, listen, Ons is in ons kas en we have to seek the help of the Lord. Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Beautiful how he reminds God. It's not that God needs reminding, but we need the reminding that God knows, that God has a plan and that God has a purpose. But we need to remind ourselves and we need to remind one another of that. And they have lived, verse 8, and they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. So what they say is, what he's saying is, listen, we were merciful to these nations. We didn't destroy them. We tried to be merciful. Now this is the payback that we get. They're attacking us. Verse 12. On our God, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I just want to stop there for a moment. Do you see the surrender in that verse? Do you see the surrender in this moment? That there's a hopelessness, but then there's an aanvaarding, there's an acceptance that there's trouble around us now. There's an acceptance that we are really, really deep in trouble now. And that the only one that can help us is God. That eventually we come to a place where all our planning is falling apart. It doesn't work anymore. And you would agree that if you come at the end of the month, you have a sense of that. Nah? If you have to pay all the bills, pay all the accounts, and you look in the bank account, and it's like, there's no reserves there anymore. You just feel a little bit of that. Your life isn't in danger. You'll make a plan somewhere. Steal a bread, kill a chicken. I don't know. You can still make a plan. Oh, planikis. But we taste that. But if our bank accounts are okay, we feel secure. We feel secure. We feel, listen, we'll be okay. We can pay our way out of this. Maybe we can buy our way out of this. But this nation, they realize, no bribery is going to work. We're not going to be able to get this hordes off our back. They're here to kill us and to destroy us. Oh, our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Planners, our plans are finished, Lord. But there's one thing that we still know how to do, and that is to keep our eyes on you. We look to you for help, God. We look to you for intervention. We look to you to come to our rescue. Verse 13. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Yahaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Yeel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, so this is the Spirit of God speaking. This is the Spirit of God bringing encouragement through the voice of a man. Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Beautiful how God always starts with a counter fear. Tell Joshua the same thing. do not be afraid, be very courageous, beautiful. Or he comes in the opposite spirit. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. So this is something that I thought about. They get the intel. It's like God is their spy. He is not surprised. He's saying, listen, they're going to come. They're going to come from there. So when I, many times you get half a word of the Lord and then you run away. I'm finished praying. I got what I needed. Okay, they're coming from this place. Some German in there. They're coming from this place and not from that place. And then the thing that I would have done is like, let's get the troops organized. We at least know they're coming from. It's not going to be a surprise attack. But God is not finished speaking. Verse 17, he says, you will not need to fight in this battle. It's like, what? I mean, tell the soldiers. You don't need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. Hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go against them and the Lord will be with you. So he's not saying, sit me your hankies, foe. He's saying, go against them. There's a step of faith that you need to take. When we are in prayer, when we are desperate, when we are crying out to God, he gives us direction. There is something that we always have to do. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. When you are in the presence of God like this, what they experienced, the only response is worship. When the presence of God is so tangible and so direct, the only response is worship. Jy gaan nie staan in chappies kou met jou hande in jou broeksakke. Never mind, never care. You will worship. And the Levites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. This is something that I just realized as I read this now. What does fear do? Real fear. It suffocates you. You don't feel like praise. You don't feel like singing. You don't feel like, jy het gesê, shouting when fear has paralyzed you. And this is a fearful nation that comes to God, that experience his presence, and the worshippers, the band, they like, let's give a shout to the Lord, let's praise. There's a courageousness that stood up. There's something that the Spirit of the Lord did in the people of God. It's a turnaround with a very loud voice. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will succeed. It's so important that we grasp that. When you are in your prayer closet in the presence of God and your fear is subdued, there's a confidence that stands up inside of you. Until you take out your banking app and you look at it again. Again. Or you go out into the world, you go out into work, you go to that place that is your challenge at this moment. You have to go and do that hospital visit. You have to go and sit at that sick bed of that person. It is important what we learn from this is Jehoshaphat says, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will succeed. Because if we look at the circumstances, if we look at the realities, And we allow that to minister to us. That fear is what choking us. It's suffocating us. Verse 21. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. You have to switch on your imaginations for this. There is a battle about to happen. Think about, I don't know what the Ukraine-Russian thing at the moment. There's vivid pictures on television. Think about a war scenario. There's tanks rattling coming at you. There's an army marching at you. Think Troy and movies, but Braveheart, whatever. This does not make sense. This is counter logic that's happening here. This is not playing for time. This is not the king that says, listen, you guys, you're going to do a show. Okay? Stel verhoog op en trek mooi aan en julle hou hulle besig. And then we vlug daai kant toe. Or you just keep them busy. I sent for help from other nations. No, there was no help coming from other nations. There was no fleeing. There was no way out. This was it. This was as real it, as it can get. And he's not like calling the reserves. Gee vir elke vrou en kind en ou mens en wie ook al, 'n kierie en 'n stok en 'n swaard. Empty the armory. Almal van ons, we're going to fight until the end. This is not what is happening here. He tells the worship band to go and stand in front of the guys with the weapons. And then he says, you praise and you give thanks. Doesn't make sense. We can't figure out God. Let's make a peace with that. But this is an awesome, awesome story for us. This is an awesome story to encourage us. Give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love endures forever. Also die vye boom nie bot nie. Nogtans sal ek in die Here jubel. When I face the challenges of life, I will look to God. My broek kan bewe, but I will look to God. And if we are honest, we struggle with that, nee? Don't do that. Our default is to look at the problem. Our default is to look for solutions within ourselves and with other people. And there isn't something wrong with that. I'm not mocking that. Bible itself says we should get wise counsel if we want to make decisions. But I'm talking about those moments when we are in dire straits, when we feel there's no way out. Verse 22, and when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. It's nuts. So they started fighting amongst one another, destroying one another instead of focus. Their whole battle plan. And say Chopson. And if you go and read the rest of the story, there's a bonus in for Israel. For 3 days, they picked up the spoils of these armies that destroyed one another. So all of a sudden, a tragedy, something that was supposed to be a tragedy, fear that ministered, was turned around into a joyous celebration. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. It only makes sense when a living God steps in and a living God does a miracle. Then something like this happens. So the piece that I read in preparation of this, the guy wrote this and he says, if you define praise according to Webster's dictionary, if you say, I'm going to give someone praise, there's a part of you that express approval with the person. Okay? I cannot give praise to Hannes if if I don't actually approve what he's doing. Honest, well done with your achievements this year. That's why we have prize. Hello? Prize uitdelings? Prize? Ek weet nie of dit die sel is nie, maar dit maak sin. I like what you did. So I praise you for that. Well done. But the challenge for us is we've been conditioned to praise when good things happen. To give thanks when good things happen. That is how we've been conditioned. So we will blame the devil for bad things, and then we will give thanks and praise to God when good things happen. But what happens when we realize a guy like Job was a righteous man who did everything right, and yet God gave Satan permission to torment him? Then our theology is like shattered. Then we freaked out a little bit. But in there, there's a liberty for us as well. And I think we talked about this earlier in the year. We think that the more good we do, the more blessing we will receive. And many times it doesn't work that way. And if we can change our expectation and say, listen, we are living in a fallen world. Tough times will come. But we have a choice how we respond to those tough times. Things can change in our lives. So when we give praise during tough times, what we're actually saying is, God, we approve of this tough time. Because we understand that this is part of your perfect plan for our lives. So we are not saying, God, thank you for the sickness, because you are the source of the sickness. No. We make a peace. We accept that we live in a fallen world, and that stuff happens because of my sin or other people's sin, or because of Satan's hate for us, or just because of the general fallenness of the world. But we can take our faith and give it to the enemy, or give it to our own plans in this situation, and in a sense, we bind God's hands to come through for us. Whereas if we look at our situation and we say, listen, this is hopeless, but I'm going to redirect my faith. I'm going to give thanks to God. I'm going to say, God, thank you for this. Because as I'm saying, God, thank you for this, in a sense, I'm inviting him into this. You with me? Stay with Joseph. And my theology is challenged a bit. Because I want to fight everything. And we should. We have to pray for healing, like we did this morning. We have to pray for financial breakthrough, as we did this morning. We have to pray and we have to fight. We have to do everything that we can. Fervent, effective prayer avails much. But what do you do when you've done all of those fighting stuff and there's still not a breakthrough? Who of you have thought about that when you're sitting at the deathbed to say, let's praise God? This person is dying, but let us praise God. And not, and this is a challenge, this is a challenge. There's a scripture. Ek gaan nie deur alles kom vandag. Let me read this one first. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. What is everything? That is everything. Who of you are in the habit of giving thanks only when it goes lekker? I am. And then when it doesn't go lekker, I complain and I murmur and I grumble. God says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And there's many people that get this right. And they only get it right because they build their actions and their thoughts on what the Word says. So they do not look at the circumstances. They do not look at what the logic is saying. They look at what the Word is saying. God said it. God says, give thanks in everything. Ek sukkel met dit. Ek kry dit nie reg nie. Ek skop eerder die hond. We struggle with that, giving thanks when life is tough. But this is one of the major principles that the Bible is showing us, because it's a faith thing. It's something that you do in faith. You look at your feyerboomer, you look at your empty stalls, you look at your challenges, and you say, God, I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for this bank account that is deep in the red. Nou, hoe de os sê jy dankie as jy miljoene in die rooi is? Hoe doen jy dit? Met 'n bewende broek doen jy dit. But the Word says, the Word doesn't say, just says give thanks. You have to start somewhere. You have to start something. And when we can come to that place where I can surrender the thoughts and the words and the feelings and the actions, when I can surrender that to God in prayer and thanksgiving, there's something that changes. And this isn't a magic formula. This isn't this morning's, and this is our other challenge. If we like, okay, I have a problem. Whatever your problem is, whatever your circumstances, whatever your hordes is that is attacking your city. And you're like, oh, there's a formula here. We got a formula on Sunday. Lekker. 1 plus 1 is gelijk aan 3. There's a formula here. If we are result prone, if we're like, I'm going to praise and I'm going to give thanks, then we're probably not going to get that. God doesn't do cause and effect. He wants your worship. He wants your adoration. He wants your trust. So something will change. But maybe it will not be your bank account. Maybe it will be your fear. Maybe it will be something inside of you that changes. Maybe God will use this circumstance and this attack by this horde to build something into your life for the next season. And maybe God will do something as radical and as miraculous as what He did for the Israelites. And He will wipe your debt. It has happened. So either something will happen inside of you, or something will happen on the outside. Or nothing will happen. Also, die feyerboom nie bot nie. What are you going to do then? Are you with me? Because the prosperity gospel will say, do this, and then you will see that result. And people are so disappointed in that rubbish. Because what God is after is our worship and our adoration. Romans 8 verse 28 says, julle nog oorait? Gaan nou klaar maak. Preek nou lekker. Romans 8 verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That scripture has been misused so many times. I want to be successful in my sport, so I quote this scripture. We lost that game, we just quote this scripture, then we will win that game. Are you with me? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That love God. We are consumers by heart. We are idolaters by heart. Our hearts are idol factories. We are so deceived in our hearts. We twist scripture for our own satisfaction and gratification. And why are people disappointed in God? Because we read things out of context and we misrepresent things. God is asking us to redirect our faith. Gives us His word, and He says, if you stand on my word, regardless of your circumstances, I will do something in your life, but I decide what I'm going to do in your life. You have a plan, I have a better one. And there's an acceptance and a surrender in praise to God's plan, which is most of the time not your plan, not my plan, and not the world's plan. The position of praise should be because we have a desire for God. Our motivation should not be in the result. Here's the scripture that I want to end off with this. No, I will not end off with this. There's nog net een puntjie daarna. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. The idol in me reads the last part. The desires of my heart. Hoe lekker. Wie kom het nou? And all I have to do is delight myself in the Lord. Hoe gaan ek dit doen? Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. I cannot do this without the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm too wicked. Ek's te sondig. But if I meditate on this and I realize, hey, there is a priority here. It's first delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Something's going to happen when you delight yourself in the Lord. He's going to put your desires into perspective. And you're going to realize, hey, ek soek nie meer daai Hilux bakkie nie, man. Ek soek nou 'n Ford. Nee. God will maybe go and say, listen, there's something wrong in your heart there. You are comparing, you are looking at stuff, you are looking for breakthrough in this. I'm not going to give you that desire. And you're going to go like, yes, ie vragies. Here, dit was 'n gemufte broodjie en ek was so lus daarvoor. Now I'm saying, no, I've got something better for you. But I want you to desire me. So praise and thanksgiving, the motivation for praise and thanksgiving is God Himself, not the results. But that in itself is very, very difficult. Do you agree with me? That is difficult. If you don't know God, if you're not hungry for God, we will be result prone. And you know, I want to say this morning, God is okay with where our hearts are at the moment. In a sense of, He's not going to slat us over donder weer. But He's not going to leave us there. So He says, give me praise and give me thanks, because I'm worthy. But I know you don't have the full revelation of who I am. I know you're trying to figure out your circumstances with understanding. But you will not understand. You will not understand why cancer has come into your life. Why cancer has come into your family. Why somebody has passed away. We try to figure it out and we try to say, oh, it's because of that sin and that sin and that generational sin and that one and that one and that one. And then you hear other people's stories and you're like, no, it doesn't add up. I can't put God in a box. I don't know why this has happened. I don't know why this has been allowed. Was it yourself blou gebid? Blouer as enigiemand anders. Blouer as enige ander kerk. Ons is yourself grys gebid. And someone still passed away. We don't know why stuff happened like that. But if the circumstances is going to steal my praise and my worship and my thanksgiving, then I'm in trouble. Because then it's a slippery slope. So there's always something good. When we obey God, there's something in it for us. He's not a spoil sport, but ultimately it's not about us. He says, I want you to accept, I want you to surrender. Those circumstances, and in this, I mean, what do we have to lose? Because as I'm speaking, maybe you are thinking of yourself or someone else's circumstances. And you're like, I've been praying for this over and over and over again. And there's no breakthrough. But have I thanked God for this situation? Have I given praise to God? Het ek al gebid, Here, dankie vir die gebrek. Lord, thank you for the sickness. Dit maak nie sin nie. Lord, thank you for this financial gemors that I'm in. Lord, thank you for this harvest that the flop is. I praise you, God. I praise you. I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow. I don't know where I'm going to be next week or next year, but I praise you. And maybe the motivation of my heart isn't pure when I start doing that. Maybe there's something in me that wants a result. Maybe that's my motivation. But I can guarantee you, as you praise God, His presence is going to manifest in your life. And as His presence manifests in your life, the attitude of your heart is going to change. I think Rizal said it when we started to worship, or something in that line. God inhabits the praise of His people. God kom woon in die teenwoordigheid van sy mense wat hom prys. And what happens in the presence of God? Miracles. So in the most dire circumstances, the word of God cries out to us and say, give praise and give thanks always. And you're like, this doesn't make sense. My broek bewe, my keel is toe. You start croaking it out. It's like, Lord, give you thanks. And the reality says, but this person is dying. You are dying. Hulle kom jou goed vat. Life is falling apart. The hordes are at your doors. It speaks to you and you want to pull back, but something inside of you gives you the strength. You say, Lord, I want to give you praise. Lord, I give you thanks. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I cry out to you. And something changed inside of you because you direct your faith to God. And it's not about changing your attitude. No, that's not it. It's not a psychological exercise. Maybe there's elements of that in there. But it's not that. It is you that looking at a God that is able to do supernatural things in your life. And you're saying, God, I place my faith and my trust in you, not in the circumstances. This, it's not an attitude change. Your attitude can suck and you can still do it. Because that's how awesome and amazing God is. Fear can paralyze you and you can still do it. Because that is how amazing God is. Amen. Kom staan.